Okay. So your PhD work with Sally Aitken focused on the Sitka and white spruce hybridome. So North American spruce seem to hybridize at the drop of a hat. There's Sitka white, Sitka white Engelmann, and others I'm probably forgetting. So can you talk about what makes the Sitka white hybrid zone interesting or different? Like, why did you choose to work in this particular hybrid zone?
Well, I actually think it's really interesting that you described spruce as hybridizing at the drop of a hat, because that was kind of one of the main questions I was interested in when I first talked to Sally about looking at spruce hybrid zones. I wanted to know, do they really hybridize at the drop of a hat, or are there some particular factors that might influence their ability to hybridize? And then we talked about the Sitka spruce and white spruce as a really cool model to look at this, because Sitka spruce is one of those classic Pacific Northwest conifers that's adapted to this super maritime climate, so it experiences a lot of precipitation throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas white spruce, more people are probably familiar with white spruce. It spans from coast to coast, and it's found in more of a continental climate. So it experiences warm, dry summers, moist, cold winters, and where the two come in, they hybridize on this transition zone from that maritime climate of Sitka spruce to the continental climate of white spruce. And so we were wondering if maybe there were some factors in there that might allow for hybridization between these two species, but also are there factors that might prevent hybridization between these two species?
And so because they were growing in such different climates, you thought that this was a good place to look for barriers.
Exactly.
Cool. So you recently published a paper in the American Journal of Botany characterizing the genetic and morphological structure of that hybrid zone. So what was your most surprising finding?
I think one of the most surprising findings in this study was that the Sitka spruce mitochondrial haplotype, so the mitochondria in spruce is inherited from the maternal plant, so it reflects seed-mediated dispersal, whereas the chloroplast, which I'll also talk about, reflects pollen-mediated gene flow because it's inherited from the paternal or male plant, part of the plant. So what we found was that within the hybrid zone, all these hybrids had the Sitka spruce mitochondrial haplotype. It was fixed across the entire hybrid zone, which was really surprising. And it suggested to us that maybe Sitka spruce had arrived to that area in advance of white spruce, so that Sitka spruce was probably the seed parent of all the early hybrid generation. And
this is after the last glaciation, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so we were surprised to see that it was that the Sitka spruce mitochondrial haplotype was fixed.
All studies raise way more questions than they answer. What do you think are some of the more interesting questions that come out of this paper that you just published?
Well, because these two species come into contact across this environmental gradient from maritime climates to more continental climates, we observed that the environment was really important in influencing the genetic structure of this hybrid zone. But some of our findings also suggest that maybe there are some non-environmental factors that might be influencing the structure of this hybrid zone. And this might have to do with things like barriers in the timing of reproduction between the species, because one species might produce pollen in advance of the other species being able to receive that pollen.
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested in checking out to see if there's maybe some genetic compatibilities or some other...
Or phenological barriers.
Yeah, yeah. Or other non-environmental factors that might influence this hybrid zone.
Like even which way the wind blows. Like maybe they're receptive at the same time, or pollen's made at the same time and receptive at the same time, but the wind blows the wrong way.
Exactly.
So this project required quite a bit of field work and lab work. Do you have any stories of funny things that happened or things that went really wrong that we could perhaps learn from?
I guess my thoughts on this were that there is definitely some benefit to planning out a field season to as much as you can, but all that planning, know that all that planning can go out the window at the drop of a hat, and be prepared for some flexibility. What we found for this particular project, when we went up to the field, we were really excited to start collecting tissue right away, because we were particularly interested in collecting bud tissue from the trees across these transects. And what we found was that all the buds were set and no buds had flushed, as they do in the spring when we got up there. And in actuality, we were probably about a month ahead of the time that they would flush.
Oh, that's a long time to wait around in the field.
Well, in that case, you can't really, because the other people require field vehicles and are planning their own field seasons, so you have to work with what you have. So what we did was we picked the buds, and we painstakingly took the bud scales off the buds and would fill these little vials with tiny little bits of buds that were hiding within the scales.
So how large were the buds when you were picking them out at this point?
They were smaller than a thumbnail initially, but as the weeks went on, they definitely increased in size. And at one point in time, this is when Christine and I got really crazy, they started flushing and all was well.
That's good. Is there anything else that you wanted to say that we could include?
I guess one of the other things that I found really interesting about this project was how important precipitation was in influencing the genetic structure of this hybrid zone. And given current rates of climate change and sea transfer guidelines within this zone, I think this study in particular informs somewhat sea transfer development within this hybrid zone and reforestation for future climates, where we predict that this region is actually going to become wetter into the future, surprisingly.
So you think it might become more suitable for Sitka?
Exactly. So I think this kind of work can be really important in influencing management strategies for these ecological transitional areas.